Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 to verse 20. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you may have to ask, who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim it to us, so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us, so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, if you are drawn away and bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Morning, everybody. There are occasions, aren't there, that just feel serious. You know, those occasions where matters of life and death are involved. Whatever you make of Partygate and all that happened afterwards, the initial announcement of lockdown by Boris Johnson, it was quite sober, wasn't it? You must stay at home. Or perhaps you think of the radio announcement of Neville Chamberlain back in 1939 on the 1st of September, Britain is at war with Germany. Or you think, and this is sort of slightly more mundane and down to earth, but you think of something like the end of a court case. You know, there's a solemnity there, a seriousness. There's not a lot of jokes flying around. There's a sense that a big decision, a decision that's going to impact people's lives, is about to be made. Serious issues are at stake. Rightly, we enjoy being together as a church family. Well, we're brothers and sisters. There's a fair amount of human fun around, and that's perfectly right when a family get together. But there are occasions when we realise we're not playing a game. That the stuff we talk about really matters, when we notice that there are life and death decisions at stake. Welcome to the world of Deuteronomy chapter 30. You might have noticed that we're quite some way from chapter 11 where we were last week. At chapters 12 to 26 are mainly the detailed instructions about the law. We are going to return to those in September, October. I'm coming out of retirement to do a little series on Sunday afternoons where we'll, in a seminar style, look at those more detailed instructions in September, October. But from chapter 27 onwards, well, we're on the running towards the end of the book, Moses' closing speeches. And see the context that you get in chapter 29. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites in Moab, in addition to the covenant he had made with them at Horeb. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, do you see, this is a solemn moment of agreements. You know, once before, God had met his people at Mount Sinai when he'd given the Ten Commandments. But since then, to those 40 years afterwards, well, quite a lot of water had flown under the bridge. And here they are again, God's people gathered before him. There is God, there they are with him. It's quite a serious moment where together they come and make commitments as to how they're going to live in the promised lands. It's a serious moment. The people before God, how they're going to live as they move forward. And in the same sense, we gather this morning in the presence of God. The Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, is here with us. And this morning we're called to make decisions, life and death decisions. This morning matters. We're going to look at the conclusion to Moses' speech primarily at the end of chapter 30, the passage that Brian read to us, and we'll jot back a little bit occasionally to see the context. But let's focus in on those verses that Brian read. The conclusion of Moses' summary of what it means to enter into a covenant, a committed relationship with God. Firstly, Moses wants to tell them that God's word has been revealed. God's word has been revealed. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. In other words, what God wants from us isn't confusing. It isn't complex. It isn't difficult to understand. He hasn't left us in the dark. We don't have to, verse 12, go up to heaven to get God's word. Hey, let's get up to heaven to get God's word and bring it down. Verse 13, we don't have to go a great journey across the seas to get God's word. No, Moses said, it's here. It's here in front of you, verse 14. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your hearts that you might obey it. You know, I've spoken God's word to you. You know what you need to do. He's revealed it to you. There's no confusion there. Fits with what Moses says right at the end of the chapter before, chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. And what Moses is saying, yet there are certain things that are mysteries, but certain things that aren't. I mean, let's be honest, there are mysteries, aren't there? You know, mysteries like what the future will hold. Perhaps mysteries like, why hasn't God answered that prayer? Perhaps questions like, how on earth does God's sovereignty and our responsibility fit together? You know, there are those mysteries, those things we don't know, those secret things. But the things we need to know, the things we need to know to live for God and to follow Him, God has revealed to us. We're not left in the dark. We're not confused. God has told us what it means to live for Him. We have what we need to please God. Sometimes that can be a healthy corrective for us. Let's be honest, so often we get wrapped up with the things we don't know, perhaps the things we wish we did know. Perhaps the questions that we have. So often we can get consumed by those things that occasionally it is useful just to hold on to. Okay, what has God told me? What do I need? The things that God's children need, He has spoken to us. And that's true for us even more so as Christians. Actually, this passage in Deuteronomy 30 is picked up in the New Testament, it's picked up in Romans chapter 10, particularly that last verse, verse 14. Because Paul in Romans says, well, actually it's true. As Christians, we don't need to go up to heaven. We don't need to go down to the sea. Again, the truth has been revealed to us, and it is supremely the truth about the Lord Jesus, the one to whom the Old Testament law points. And Paul in Romans 10 will go on to say, again, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. If you declare with your mouth Jesus Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you see, he's picking up Deuteronomy. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart. It's near you. Can I say, for each one of us here, what God wants of us is to put our trust in Jesus as our Lord, and live for him. There's no confusion, no uncertainty. You don't need a great philosophy degree to work that out. You don't need to go on a great journey to discover it. What God wants for each one of us, he's told us. It's plain. It's clear. The thing we need most, the person of God, has walked around on earth in full view of all those who lived at the time, and the account of his life had been written down for us. And that's what we need. So this passage makes a call to decision. And what we can't say as we approach that decision is, well, I've not been given enough information. I've not been given the answer to the question. I'm waiting for God to show me something else. Now Moses is saying, you've got all you need. Everything you need for a decision. Revealed in Jesus Christ, who spoke, who healed, who died, who rose. We have everything we need to make the decision. And he's available for all. There's no discrimination here. You don't need to go up to heaven. You don't need to go down to the sea. Or to put it another way, you don't need to get a degree to make a decision. You don't need to have come from a particular country. You don't need a Christian background. You don't need any of that stuff. We have what we need to make a decision in the person of Jesus Christ. And you notice, he's near. The word is near you, Moses says, even more so for us. Lord Jesus, here this morning, by his Spirit, near to us, accessible to us. Each one of us this morning can know him. The word has been revealed, which means we all have a choice to make. You now have a choice to make. Verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. The word has been revealed, and now the ball is in your court. And Moses says, I've said it before you really clearly. There's two ways, two options. The road to life and prosperity, or the pathway to death and destruction. He elaborates that in verse 16. There's the pathway to blessing, loving the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him, keeping his commands and decrees. That's the pathway to the Lord your God will bless you. By contrast, verse 17, hearts turning away, being disobedient, bowing down to other gods. That's the pathway to death and destruction. It's actually what these chapters are about. If you just flip back to chapter 27, this is the start of the new section talking about when God's people enter the promised land. And you can see just from the headings, really. Chapter 27, verse 9 or verse 14 onwards, the Levites call out in a loud voice, cursed is anyone who makes an idol. Cursed anyone who dishonors their parents. Cursed is anyone, verse 19, who withholds justice from the foreigner. Cursed is various sexual sins. Verse 26, cursed is anyone who does not uphold the words of the law by carrying them out. So these curses, this pathway of disobedience that leads to disaster. And then by contrast, you have the promise of blessings. Chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. Again, you can see the various things. Verse 6, you'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. And then from verse 15 onwards, we're back to cursed. Cursed in a city, cursed in the country. Verse 20, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion and rebuke if you wander away from the Lord. Do you see, again and again, this is just saying choices. Verse 19, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. It's pretty binary. Life, death, prosperity, poverty, blessings, curses. You've got a choice to make. It's almost as though the church is directing the question to Israel. How are you going to live in the promised land? Do you notice the courtroom language? Verse 19, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you. The witnesses are gathered. There's Israel in the courtroom. What decision is going to be made? Now, it's worth saying that binary decision is not simply an Old Testament phenomenon. So you find it in John's Gospel, for instance. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Do you see again the two roads? Blessing, curse, life, death. Now, of course, the reality is in our culture is that most people don't realize that sort of choice is going on. But that is the reality. That is what God has revealed. every day, every human being getting nearer one or other direction. Eternal life, eternal death. I can say it's worth stressing that. Yeah, you know that over the years I've got a high view of God's sovereignty. The God who's in control of all things. I've got a high view of God's sovereignty because the Bible does. But the Bible does insist that our decisions matter. We're not mere puppets. We do have responsibility. And for the people of God in Israel, how they responded to God would have implications. It really did matter. It determined their destiny. Now, what are the different aspects to that decision? Well, there are two or three things that are worth noting. Flip back with me, will you, to chapter 29, verse 18, where, again, as part of the covenant renewal ceremony, Moses says this to the people, make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. So what you see is this choice works its way out. We have a responsibility to each other, to help each other, to keep people on the right path. You know, make sure there isn't anybody amongst you who's just going astray. I had a difficult situation was put to me by a friend this week. And my friend mentioned another Christian friend who really was just wandering away from the Christian path, really sadly. And the two of them were due to meet at a social event. And my friend was asking me, does it need to be different? And I said, I wish I could say something different, but yeah, it does need to be different. You can't just behave as though he isn't wandering away from the Christian faith. There's got to be some way of making clear, you know, I just hate the path you're going down. You need to be called back. We don't just let each other go down a pathway to disaster. It's actually not the loving kind thing to do. We have a responsibility to one another because the decision is a life and death decision. And to live presumptuously, to live as though it really doesn't matter what we do, is the pathway to disaster. See verse 19 of chapter 29. When such a person, that's the one wandering away towards other gods, hears the words of this oath and they invoke a blessing on themselves, thinking, I will be safe even though I persist in going my own way, they will bring disaster on the watered land as well as the dry. Do you see what that's saying? But where there's a sense of say, oh, I'll be fine. It really doesn't matter if I'm wandering after other gods. It really doesn't matter if I'm wandering away from the Lord. I'll be fine. Because, hey, I'm still in church. And God says you can't be that presumptuous. It matters. We can't just wander away from the Lord and think there isn't an issue. Think there isn't a problem. Think that God won't see. It matters that we're faithful to him. But then the third bit is the good news that it's possible to change paths. Actually, as you look at chapter 30 is where Moses predicts, accurately enough, that the people are going to wander away from the Lord and that they will end up far from home, verse 1. They'll be dispersed among the nations. And when they're in that context of exile, when you, verse 2 of chapter 30, when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. Verse 5, 4, he will gather you, bring you back. Verse 5, he will bring you to the land. Verse 6, the Lord will circumcise your heart and you will love him. Do you see? Yeah, the people are going to wander away, but if they come back to the Lord, then the Lord will restore their fortunes. The Lord will work in their hearts to enable them to live for him. If what we've looked at this morning has panicked you, can I say you don't need to stay in that position? Yeah, the purpose of this morning isn't, oh no, good grief, I'm in a mess, I'm beyond hope. No, if there's a sense of crumbs, I've been doing that. You know, I've not really been living for the Lord and thinking it's kind of okay. It doesn't really matter. Can I say the point is not panic. The point is return. Come back to the Lord. Confess your sin. Lord, I have been wandering. I have sinned against you. To be honest, I haven't, Lord Jesus, really been living with you as my Lord. Lord, I have sinned against you. Lord, I do want to come back. I do want to repent. I do want to live differently. Thank you that your Spirit will work in my heart to make that possible. But there is a choice. The choice really matters. We don't have to stay wandering away from the Lord. It's possible to come back. It's possible to return. But what we do need to realize is there's a choice to be made. Can I say, you do not accidentally drift into life. It isn't that you're just sort of wandering through, oh gosh, I'm suddenly living for the Lord. How on earth did that happen? No, there's something more active involved in that. Oh, of course the Lord's at work behind the scenes, but nevertheless, in as much as we are responsible, there is a choice to be made. Because, of course, it's not just Moses who winds up his sermon with this sort of call. Isn't that what Jesus does? Remember his most famous sermon. And as he winds up towards the end of his sermon, he says, two roads. It's a wide road that most people are on, and it's leading to destruction. There's a narrow road. Not many people enter it. But it becomes the pathway to life. Or there's two buildings. You can build on sand. It's quite easy to build on sand. Fall flat when the storm comes. Or you can build on the rock. Where are you going to build? Do you see? Just as Moses leads to two destinations, curses, blessings, death, life. So Jesus says, two roads, two buildings. Choice is yours. This is by a long way the most important decision you will ever make. I mean, where you live, what job you do, who you get married to, I mean, they're moderately important. This is the only life and death decision. It really matters. Did you sense the seriousness in what Moses is urging them? He can see these different outcomes ahead. What's going to happen to God's people? There's a choice to be made. And so Moses says, choose life. Choose life. Now, choose life. So that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here's the thing. Two options. Choose life. Choose the path of loving the Lord your God, listening to him. Why? Because he is your life. True life. Life as it's meant to be, life in all its fullness, is in him because he is life. Because he is the source of life in all its fullness. Choose life. Because you see, Jesus can offer this to us. He can offer this to us because he has become the curse. Because actually all the curses that should fall on us because of our disobedience, as he goes to the cross, he stands under the curse of God and takes them. We don't need to live under the curse because he's paid. He's become the curse. But more than that, we can choose life because he is the one who can lead us to the promised land. Do you see? Choose life because that's the way you will enjoy life in the land that he promised. And for us, the land is a glorious new creation. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the one who can take you to the Father's house. I'm the one who can take you to the promised land. In Jesus, we have everything we need. And he's near. He's here. By his Spirit, the word is near, Jesus is near. As the call right now is this, blessings and curses, life and death. Choose life. Choose to have Jesus as Lord. Choose to live for Him. Can I speak to three groups as we draw to a close? Can I say a word to those of us who are here? And we are living for Jesus and we're wanting to live as Christians. And the call in verse 20 is this: hold fast. Keep going. Keep persevering. The Lord is your life. Let's be honest, sometimes the Christian life can feel pretty tough. It's not easy to be on a narrow road when everybody else is on a different road. It's not easy to build a house on a rock. It's not always easy to be as a Christian, to be a Christian. But persevere. Hold fast to Him even as He holds fast to you. Keep going. He is your life, so continue to choose life. Can I say a word to those who perhaps are listening to this and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian? And maybe, to be honest, your perception of Christianity being it's a kind of lifestyle choice that people make. You know, some people find it useful to be a Christian, that's great. Some people don't find it useful to be a Christian, that's fine as well. But this passage is saying there's more to it than that. Actually, to live in God's world and to enjoy all that God has given, but to ignore God as He comes to earth, is death in the end. This passage is saying there is a choice that every human being has to make, irrespective of whether they realize it. And if you're listening, you've never realized, actually, it matters how I respond to Jesus. This passage is saying it does. There is a binary choice. There isn't an option for sort of vaguely not being too opposed to Christianity. No, there is a call to embrace Jesus and to choose life. We need to realize the seriousness of the decision that is around. But I want to end with a word for those who are sitting on or perhaps straddling a fence. You know, you've been to church for years, but you've never quite committed yourself to Jesus. Or maybe you haven't made the commitment to, say, be baptized. Or you make a claim to be a Christian, but deep down you know it's ages since you've been living with Jesus as Lord. And you just keep putting the decision off and off and off. It'll be fine. Do you notice the phrase that Moses uses twice? This day. This day. Today, right now, I'm setting the choice before you. And to be honest, what Moses did all those centuries ago, frankly, is what I'm doing this morning. Setting out the choice that everyone faces before us. Life and death. Blessings, curses. That is the choice we all face. The Lord is near. He's available. He's accessible. He is available to all of us. I wonder, will you choose life? You actually choose the pathway that takes you to life in all its fullness, life that lasts forever. It's the most important decision we'll ever make. And it is a decision we can make now, because He's here and He's near. And we can speak to Him along the lines of, Lord, I have been on the wrong pathway. I want to move. I want to live with You as my Lord. Please, by Your Spirit, work in my heart to help me to do that. Because for all the fact that we really do enjoy being together, we're not mucking around and we're not playing a game. Eternal life, eternal death. They're the matters we're dealing with. Choose life. Let's pray. Just a moment of quiet. I wonder what we want to say to the Lord. Lord, we thank you that none of us could say, come the final day, that you left us in the dark. And that you didn't tell us what you want of us. Well, thank you for the clarity with which Moses, Lord Jesus, thank you for the clarity with which you spoke when you were here on earth. Lord, impress upon us the choice demanded of all of those you have made. And Lord, by the power of your Spirit, won't you enable us to choose and to walk the road of life, we pray. The life where we have you as our Lord, Lord Jesus. The road where we are so thankful that you became a curse for us that we might live under your blessing. Lord, help us to run the road of life until we reach the promised land of a new creation, we pray. For your name's sake. Amen.